That's on. Okay, the title of the message for anybody up there is Faith Overview. Faith Overview. Man, the Word of God just fit, that we got from the Lord just fit into this. That confession just fit into this. Put on your seatbelts, folks. Hey, this is good stuff. Are you excited about the Word of God?
Yeah.
You know, a wise man of God said, it's what you get excited about that'll work for you. Now, I didn't plan on saying that. That cunned me right at the start. God, I guess God wanted to give you a little nugget there. It's what you get excited about that'll work for you. You know? That kind of helps you get at it with all your heart, and that works. Last week, we spoke about some things about the devil's put landmines in the human languages to get us to say them and turn our faith against ourselves and hurt ourselves. And if any of you didn't catch the message, she has some messages back there. The title on that is Watch Your Mouth, I believe. Let you know a lot of the landmines that sometimes we don't think about. You know, we're just out there in the human language, so we kind of all fell into that and said a lot of that stuff has done damage to us. So thank God for turning on His light and helping us know, hey, there's some stuff here. I'm going to change my talking. Now, it's not the easiest thing to do. We all still need a little help. But, you know, if we work at it, we can get this thing going the right direction, you know, and get that faith working for us. So I did want to add a couple more things that come to my mind. The word luck and the word lucky, you can get that out of your vocabulary. Those words can be traced right back to Lucifer. They both do start with L-U-C, you know. I mean, how many people do you know go to Las Vegas and come back millionaires? Did they set that up for us over in Las Vegas to make us all rich, do you know for sure? I don't think so. But that's just another, you know, we're not lucky, we're blessed.
Amen.
Jesus died so the blessed Abraham would come on us.
Yeah.
Through Christ Jesus, I'm blessed. I'm walking in the blessing, so are you. After you've been prayed for up here, now, this is a little tricky here, but listen to me. Hear me out. But after you get prayed for up here, you know, when you pray, you believe you receive when you pray. You take the answer then. The word receive means to take. You know, you take that. And, you know, it says also in Mark, it says, from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We're not jerking it out of God's hands. We're jerking it out of the spirit realm away from the devil. He's not taking what's ours. This stuff is ours. God's provided everything for us. The devil's not getting it. Wow. So when you get prayed for, you believe you receive your healing right there. But when you walk to the back of the room, somebody says, well, how are you feeling? Well, if you still got the pain, I say, well, it doesn't matter how I feel. I believe I've received my healing up here. I've got my healing.
Right.
Say what you want. Say what you got up here. And this, sometimes that's the tricky one. Well, how do you feel? It doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is that I'm healed. I received my healing. Bless God, I'm healed. I'm one healed child of God. I mean, say what you want. Man, put those words out there. They're alive. Your words are spirit. They're life, man. Put that word out there and make it come to pass. This is going different than I planned, man. This is good, though. Here's another real good one to do is when you're praying, and this sounds kind of religious and almost sounds kind of nice. Oh, Lord, whatever it takes, do this. Don't ever say that. Don't open up your mouth and open the door to the devil to get in on your prayer. You be specific, and you pray in faith what you're believing for. You believe in faith. Don't do that. Don't say, oh, Lord, whatever it takes. Don't do that. Do not open the door of the devil. People have died. It's like a cue of the devil. Like, hey, we can fit in there, and that whatever it takes, we can fit in there. We ain't giving him no place. So be specific. Stay in faith in your praying. Now, here's some other things, too, like foolish talking. I used to do this a lot. Just foolish talk, wasn't worth nothing, just being silly. But there's no value in it. And it can probably do a little more damage to you because you're not producing anything in your heart with it. Lying. Now, we don't have as much trouble in the church with lying, but, you know, you're not going to if you're a liar, your spirit knows you're lying. You can't get none to come. How are you going to get something to come past if your spirit doesn't understand? You're lying again. Lying again. You can't get anything done with lying. So we need to be people of our word. Keep your word. If you get too bogged down, don't put so much word out there that you've got to keep. Keep your mouth shut. Say, I'll pray about it, talk to you about that later or something. You don't have to make a commitment because somebody asked you to do something. Be wise with your mouth. Like sometimes people say, well, y'all come back now. I'll say, thank you. And I don't know if I'm coming back. I don't want to make a commitment with my mouth I'm coming back. I don't know if I want to come back. I mean, you know, that may just sound like a simple little thing, but that's just me. Here's another one. This is really, be careful with this one here, because sometimes people have had the devil do things in their life. And they'll say, well, every time I do this, the devil does that. And then every time we do that, the devil does that. Shut that up. You know you're empowering him to keep doing that if you say that? You're giving him power right there with your words. The devil does this every time. Shut up. Don't say that. Lord, we renounce those wrong words in Jesus' name. Say, I heard a wise, when I hear nuggets, I like to pick them up and keep them, but I heard a wise man say, concerning me and mine, the devil's bound up and shut down, he can do nothing. Amen. Concerning me and mine, the devil's bound up and shut down, he can do nothing. Enough speaking about him, he needs no more publicity, he needs no more talking about. He's a little bitty devil, we got a great big God. Yeah, I've heard that somewhere before. You know, as we start this walking in faith, you don't have to understand everything about it to operate in it. The one guy said he could never figure out when he was little how a brown cow could eat green grass and put out white milk. But the whole time he's contemplating, he's drinking milk and enjoying the milk. You may not understand everything about how jet engines work and how a plane flies, but if you pay your money and get your ticket, you can get on that plane and go to your destination and enjoy the benefits. And if we function in the principles that we learn walking in faith, whether we understand it or not, we can enjoy the faith ride too. One of the first things we need to really do is to know the Word of God is our foundation of faith. You've got to have a solid foundation, and I haven't found a better one. The Word of God endures forever. It's unlimited power. Jesus said, you don't have to turn there. In Matthew 24:35, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. What kind of foundation is that? Heaven and earth pass away, but the words still stand, and when the dust settles, that ain't bad. Now, no situation or circumstance in your life can change the word. Now, people have taken, when things didn't work the way they wanted to, they made a little doctrine. Well, I guess God don't do that no more. You better be careful what you're saying. The Word of God does not change because of what's happened in your life. But if you take the Word of God and apply it to your situation and circumstance, it can change that. So we make application there. With the Word in found, excuse me, get excited, you know. With the Word as our foundation, we're positioned to walk in faith. Very key, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. How are you going to have faith for somebody who don't know if it's God's will? And here's the will. You can find out here what is the will of God. And then you've got a firm foundation. You can walk on that. When people try to walk in faith any other way, they're not in faith. They have high expectations on wrong information. And high expectations on wrong information gets you about that much. And you'll spin your wheels and kind of, it'll wear you out. You've got to do it the right way. You know, that's one of the reasons why people have faith failures. And now I'm not picking on anybody that has faith failures. I've done it. But you know, when you start talking about how exciting this stuff is, this faith is, but Jesus himself said, this is exciting, man. I mean, it's hard enough to run off and get stupid and do something, but you got to stay and get all the information you need. You know, it's kind of like if you knew somebody that gave real good direction, and they say, well, Mick, where do you need to go? Well, I need to go from Rochester to L.A. Okay, I'll give you directions all the way. No, just get me through Indianapolis. I'll find my way the rest of the way. Not a good idea. There's a lot between Indianapolis and Los Angeles that can cause you problems without good directions. So we just kind of need to stick and learn the whole thing. You know, we can start operating in little things. You start believing God for enough money to buy that pair of socks you was wanting or something else. You start on small things, you know, and And we all need to be Spirit-led too, you know. And it's a fun walk. It's adventures in faith. It's not walking in fear. So there's a lot of other reasons why people have faith fairs. It's kind of similar to what I just talked about, going off whole hog when you're half ready. And like I said, this is exciting stuff. But you can't go off whole hog and half ready. You can make a fool of yourself. You can make mistakes. I lost a lot of money making some mistakes. I got a little foolish, a little careless. But I know the boss, and he kind of restores stuff and helps people out when they do right. So when they walk this thing out right, so we're looking for good things. But you know, you can cause a lot of errors by being careless. So we don't want to get careless. But this is a lot of fun too. Another reason people doubt and give up. Well, a lot of times that is because we know where the battlefield is between here. That's the battlefield. So when you start moving in faith, that's when you got to stand and cast down thoughts, you know. When they say fear tolerated is faith contaminated, and you don't want your faith contaminated. You want to keep that pure. We saw in Mark, you don't have to look this up, but you can write these down if you're taking notes, Mark 4:18-20, that the devil uses the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of the things to get you off track. Because he don't want you to get this word. The Bible says, you know, that persecution comes for the word's sake. Because if you take this word and you let it work inside you, you're going to bring forth faith, and you're going to start destroying stuff in his kingdom and taking stuff back that he's stolen. So he don't want you to have it. So you got to, those are things we got to watch out for. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, same things he uses all the time. Faith actually never fails. People do. People may fail, but God doesn't. Some people say, you know, I tried that faith stuff, but it didn't work. No, faith tried you, and you didn't work. You know, that's the truth of the matter. Again, not picking on anybody. I've done it. Here is a verse you can look up, Mark 11:22-25. Somebody like to read that when they get it, Mark 11:22-25. Now, that's good. You know, see how exciting that is? If you say, believe, doubt not in your head, you're going to have what you say. You know, and isn't that neat that he threw in the forgiveness there? Because, you know, unforgiveness will stop your faith. Because if you're in unforgiveness, you're not in love. Faith works by love. That's one of the safety valves God has on this kingdom. You think somebody's going to come in from the devil's kingdom and use our faith stuff against us and steal our money? It ain't going to work. You're not in love. It ain't working. Faith works by love. So we got to keep that love. Keep that love flowing, you know. Yeah, and I wanted to point that out too. It said in 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, receive them, you shall have them. So when you pray, that's again when you take it. You take the answer right then and there. I take it, I got it. Now you may not see the manifestation, but that don't matter. You take it then. The word receive means to take, and you take it. You fight. You fight, you take that thing, you believe you got it. If somebody asks, do you got it? Say, yeah, I got it. Well, where is it? I got it. It's right here. I got it. You know, and it's going to manifest. These are the principles of faith, and they'll work every time. You know, some people call them the laws of faith. You know, law works the same way every time. You know, the law of gravity, laws work the same every time. You always win if you never give up. We need to use faith every day, you know. This isn't just a quick fix thing, you know, if we got a problem. Oh, crying out loud, I better run and get a pound of faith at the church so I can take care of this. No, we got to operate in this thing every day. You know, it's like working out. You know, let's keep that, don't give that faith muscle no break. Keep it working. Keep that thing working. You know, it's very important. It needs to be a way of life. Faith is a way of life. Let's look at Romans 1:16-17. I really only needed 17, but 16 is so good we threw it in. But somebody else like to read Romans 1:16-17. This is rich here.
The just shall live by faith.
Oh, I love that. See, we can grow from faith to faith. And God will lead us in steps of faith. You know, he knows where we're at, and he'll start us out, he'll work with us. Until we, you know, get some of that mountain moving faith, you know. He'll work you on up there. But did you see, we grow from faith to faith, but did you also notice it said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Pastor taught us on righteousness, and righteousness is key to operating in faith. Righteousness is key to getting your prayers answered and everything. This is wisdom from God. We need to know who we are in Christ and walk in it. E.W. Kenyon is a great man of God. Anytime you get any book by E.W. Kenyon, it'll be good. But he had such a revelation of righteousness that in his church, they taught the children the same thing they taught the adults. They taught them the same thing. They didn't break it on down. They went, I don't know how many years it was. I don't have the stats, but you can probably look it up on the computer. They went years without anybody being sick in their church. They had such a revelation of righteousness. So as we grow from faith to faith, this revelation of righteousness is going to continue to grow and open and expand. You know, isn't it neat? Like when you see a little bit of rose, it's just a little bud, you know. Somebody said, what's that? That's a rose. Well, it don't look like a rose. Well, it's growing up to be one. And pretty soon it starts opening, unfolding. Oh, yeah. And it goes more and then, oh, the fragrances. Oh, look how beautiful it is. The more it unfolds, the more beautiful it is. And that's how God's word is. And that righteousness is going to continue to grow. And the faith is going to continue to grow. You're going to be some mountain-moving folks here soon. This is good stuff. I just think this is wonderful. So we need to have a righteousness conscience. Now, this is very key. The devil used condemnation or sin consciousness. Remember what you did last week, you dirty dog? Hey, that's gone. God threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. That's where I got it. And we need to be like that. Because with a righteousness conscience, you go into the presence of God. But you, condemnation, you know, there was almost kind of like a religious thing before where it almost, oh, if you just kind of beat yourself up a while, it's like a humble thing before God. No, it's not. It's disrespectful. He provided a righteousness for us. To where when we pray, we get on our knees, we sinned. We're going to sin. We're not all sinners saved by grace. That's close to blasphemy, to say that you're still a sinner when you've been saved by grace. No, the blood did its work. You may still sin, yes. You repent, you admit it, you quit it. And when you get up from that prayer, you get up like you never sinned. Now, that's pretty strong, but that's where we need to be. Because if God threw it in the sea of forgetfulness, that's where we got to have it. We can't let the devil have any place to accuse us of things in the past. We've got to shut those out. Like Pastor said, take the rearview mirror and throw it out. We ain't looking back. You know, it's very important to keep that righteousness conscious because this faith thing is unlimited. And it's exciting. But you've got to, these are proper components hooking to faith to keep us walking it, to keep us victorious. As it said in 1 John 1:9, He's faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse from all of it, from your mind and everything. Keep it clean. It's a work in progress. You're going to have to work it, but keep your thinking right. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Bless God, I'm clean. I mean, that's good. We're not out to sin. Yeah, we may still sin. That's not our lifestyle. We're not sinners. We're out to live righteously and do this thing right, you know. Praise the Lord. So as that, excuse me just a second, I don't want to miss it. I don't like missing anything. As the verse said, we grow from faith to faith, and that revelation of righteousness continues to unfold. And in that righteousness, in that faith, we pray and walk with confidence. Confidence. Knowing that we have what we prayed for because we prayed according to His will. Knowing that He heard us. We prayed according to His word because we pray by the word of God. This is faith building. It's encouraging. We can walk in a righteousness knowing our prayers are answered. That is wonderful. Now, 1 John 5:4 says that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And, you know, somebody said, I think it's just so neat, it said, to put it simply, faith is believing what God said. Fear is believing what somebody else said. Isn't that simple? We got to believe God and stick with it. Don't give in to doubt. Now, doubt is We got to stay away from fear. Doubt is just one of them cousins of fear, just hooked with them, you know, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, disappointment. You know, if you walk around discouragement, disappointment, you're in sin. Anything that doesn't come from faith is sin. I mean, little trips, things that trip us up, well, a little bit of doubt. Wasn't there a Garden of Eden somewhere where the devil said to Eve, have God really said? And right after that little seed of doubt, wasn't long, the big lie came in. Oh, you're not surely die. Told that lie. Don't give in to doubt. Now, this is really cool. As we've seen, believing and speaking are big keys in setting the laws of faith in motion. That's how the kingdom of God operates, believing and speaking. Now, the Bible does say faith without works is dead. Most of your works of faith are going to be your speaking. And as we're led by the Spirit, if there's something else to do, God will let us know what it is. If there's a step of faith along the way to do, because we want to do everything we can to keep this thing working. That's even how we got born again. Like it says in Romans 10, 8 through 10, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised from the dead, we'll be saved. Believing and speaking. Believing. That's how we function in the kingdom of God. Now, I mentioned this, that, you know, I told this part of this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's pertinent. But excuse me just a minute. Maybe I wasn't going to put it in there. There it is. I'll do it later. Excuse me. But Romans 8, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And we can have a better walk with the Lord in the Spirit if we practice the presence of God. Does anybody ever do that? You practice the presence of God. I need to do it a little bit better and do it more often. But when you get done praying in the morning, don't hang up. Stay on the line, you know. Well, Lord, I think this is what I'm supposed to do today. If you got anything you'd like me to do, please let me know. But now, as I get dressed, should I put on a green shirt or a red shirt? Does it matter, you think? Or, I mean, you could start on something simple like that. How about the pants? You know, get dressed with God. I heard a lady on the tape not too long ago said she don't even get dressed until she talks to the Lord about what to wear. You know, that ain't bad. But then it's starting practicing the presence of God. Then as you drive along the road, God said, turn left here. Well, we better obey. You know, but Lord, I usually go that way. Shut up and turn. So the devil knows what way you've been going every time. Maybe he's got a plan there to set you up and cause you to have a problem. And God wants to get you out of it. We need to be led by the Spirit. It could be life and death. So it's kind of a fun thing to do anyway, to walk with the Lord. He is fun. And here's some steps to walk it in faith. We see a situation where we need... We're going to have to walk in faith. First thing we do, we find out what the will of God is. We get it in here. Now, let's say, for instance, symptoms try to come on your body to tell you you have something. Well, wait a minute. Let's see, what does the Word of God say about that? Well, I love the verse when he said, talk to the leper, said, Lord, I know you can heal me if you will. And what was Jesus say? What did Jesus say? I will. Well, if his will to heal that man, it's his will to heal every man. He's not a respected person. He don't like that guy more than me or you. And that verse alone. But then again, we know that the blood of Jesus on that cross washed away our sins forever. But before he went to the cross, he went to that whipping post and took stripes. And by his stripes, he paid for healing as well as our forgiveness. That's a twofold thing. We see that in our communion. So we got to remember, hey, wait a minute. By his stripes, I'm healed. You know, you can get out a 3x5 car, right? Just kneel down, you know. Bless God, I believe Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, 1 Peter 2, 24, whatever else you want to write down. And then you find out the answer in the Word. Then you go into prayer. Ask the Lord to have this healing manifest because it belongs to you. You believe you receive. Tell him, Lord, these symptoms try to attack my body here, but I see in your Word, it says here, by your stripes I'm healed. You said I'm redeemed from the curse. All that sickness and the curse, I agree with you in your Word. I thank you I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And you can speak to your body too. And so you deal with it in prayer then. Believe you receive when you pray, right then receive your answer. Whether you got the manifestation or not, get the answer then. You got it. You take it, you got it. Okay. And then number three, you seek and find. You know, we're spirit-led. We're expected as we go from amen to here it is, we want to seek and find. We want to be open to whatever the Lord would have us to do. Maybe he'd have us do something, maybe find another verse. Whatever he would have us do, we want to be always have our antenna up to receive what God has to let us know. And then we do that as we're spirit-led. And let every thought you have affirm that you have what you ask for. Don't think anything negative. Every thought affirms, I have what I ask for. Then when you get to the door that looks like it's yours, you knock and it's going to open. All the time that you're going through the process of from amen to there it is, you keep your confession of faith going. Keep your good confession of faith going. Always do your confessions out loud. Just like you do your Bible study, your prayers, you need to do it out loud. You need to put those words out into the atmosphere, and you need to hear. You need to hear you speak because you believe you more than anybody else. Faith comes by hearing, and you're going to believe you. You're going to hear it better if you say it. It's just the way God made us. But you need to keep those scriptures going. Keep your confession of faith going. With a good confession of victory over the situation with the words that you found in step one. Now, I'm going to tell you some things here that you might like. When you're confessing these scriptures, you always want to do it out loud, like I said. And here's some things that you're going to do that the confession will do for you. By keeping your confession of faith going all the time. You want to do it all the time. You want to keep that thing going. Because your confession of faith keeps the answer before you. It keeps the answer before you. By continuing confessing your confessions of faith, it keeps your mind on the answer, not the problem. Because you're not talking the problem to God. We discuss that at the prayer. We don't talk the problem anymore. We talk the answer. Okay?
Yeah.
And so you're keeping the answer before you. Bless God by his stripes, I'm healed. Yes, sir. You know, keep that thing going. All right? As you continue to make your confession of faith, it keeps your mind renewed. Of course, you put that living word through your mind again. You're hearing it again. By continually confessing the word of God, you're going to cause faith to come. It's going to build your faith. It'll change your attitude. Continually confessing the word of God, it sows those living words of God into your heart. You sow it by saying. It sets the law of faith in motion. Then faith grows up and becomes the answer. Faith goes, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. You plant that faith in, that's going to grow. This is fertile soil. This is kingdom soil. You plant that word in here, you keep watering it. You keep speaking it. You keep planting it. You keep watering it. And faith goes up and becomes. Now, the manifestation may not come today. Gosh, it'd be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if every answer came the day you started praying? That'd be great. But it may take a day. It may take a week. May take a month, may take years. There's people around here that have had to wait for years for answers. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them too. But you know, you've got to stand. Ephesians 6:10 through 18, you don't have to turn there, but that's where it talks about the armor of God. It says, when you've done all to stand, stand. All right, we're going to get some standing tips here now. This is important. You know, you need to stand. And I'll tell you what, prayer and praise are the big guns of faith. You keep them guns blazing, buddy, and it keeps you strong. Prayer, just something about praise. Now, Danny, you could probably preach on that, buddy. I mean, just something about praise. And it keeps your joy up because your joy is your strength. You've got to keep your joy up. You know, if disappointment, discouragement is trying to beat you all over the head, you've got to open your mouth and sing praise to God, shout joy, even if you're crying, whatever the deal is. Keep that faith going. Keep that praise going. Keep that praise. These are big guns of faith. And sometimes you got to take steps of faith. This is what I was going to tell you earlier. I told this story, or part of this story before, but several years ago, I worked for FedEx, and I always like to give a lot of extra money on my taxes so I get a big chunk back at the end of the year. I always enjoyed that big chunk, you know. So I lived debt-free for over 10 years, a house paid for, a car paid for. The only bill I had was utilities, you know, and it was awesome. And I'm getting back there soon. I'm on my way. We're making progress. So anyway, so I got this really nice tax check back then. All right. So I thought, well, I've kind of let the house go a little bit. I'm going to do some work on the house, and I'm going to get another car. The car needs a little help. And so we had a revival at church. So I was going to church every night, and I felt like the Lord tugged my heart. He wanted the money. So, well, Lord, you know I let the house go. I haven't done anything. You know I need another car. I was going to use it for that. Never heard him say a word. But I kept feeling this tugging. All right, you want the money? You got it. Ain't standing between me and you. I'll trust you for a car. Bless God. So I did. And I believe the Lord said within the year that I'd have that car. So I stood, and the year passed. And, I mean, I was still saying faith. But, you know, my knees weren't as strong as they should have been. But sometimes you got to make steps of faith. And I just felt like I needed to do something in faith. So I had a little driveway where I had my other car. So I had somebody bring me a load of gravel, and I dumped it in the yard. And I made a parking spot for my new car. Kind of sucks when you try to get the lawnmower close and it kicks those big rocks up, but I got me a parking spot, you know. I made me a parking spot. Wasn't long after that, we had a guy, he used to go to our church, he called me up, and he wanted to know if I'd come over to his apartment and pray with him. Well, he hadn't been around for a while. I thought maybe he needed a little help, so I went over to pray with him. We talked for a while, and he handed me an envelope. He said, God told me to give this to you. I looked at the title to his 1981 Corvette. This was 1991. It was one owner, 28,000 miles, mahogany with smoked tea tops. It was sweet. It was nice. But it was more than I asked for. I asked for a bigger car to take more people to church. He gave me one I could take them to church one at a time in style. I mean, and it was a desire in my heart. I'd always wanted a Corvette, but I didn't know that I'd ever really have one. He gave me a desire in my heart. It was, like you said, he does exceedingly abundantly, but all you can ask today. Don't be, if God tells you to give, don't be afraid to give where he tells you to give. He knows what he's doing. And when he tells you to give, he knows good soil. So praise the Lord. But I wanted to share that with you, you know, because it was kind of alarming to me at first. But Lord, you know, I need this money, you know. But he just tugged it. He got it. And I am so grateful I obeyed. But we need to fight the good fight of faith, as it says in 1 Timothy 6:12. And the good fight is a fight that you win. And you'll always win if you don't give up. Faith doesn't fail. You'll always win if you don't give up. Stay plugged into your faith. Now, I'd like you to look at Luke 17:6. This is a good one. If you don't like this, you can get your money back at the door. Well, how much ever you spent to get in here? Luke 17:6. Will somebody read that for me, please? King James, if you got it, if you would do it for me, please, King James. Luke 17:6.
The Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you.
Isn't that cool? If you had faith, you'd do what? You would say. Faith speaks. You know, I love that verse, 1 Corinthians 4:13. You don't have to turn there, but it's from out of the Psalms too. It says, it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. So faith speaks. Now, it's really pretty neat here. It talks about the mustard seed. And a lot of people believe, and it's true, that the Lord said this because it's such a small seed. And it talks about it can grow up into a great big tree in the garden where even birds can get in. And so it's really cool that you can start with something small and come up so big. But there's another truth to the mustard seed. Danny, you might know this. That's really cool, too. It's probably a little treasure that God hid for us, for those who will seek. And somebody's found it, and I got to hear it, so I'll share it with you. But the mustard seed cannot be cross-pollinated. Mustard seed is always mustard. So if you have faith, that doesn't change. Faith is a mustard seed that doesn't change. It'll grow up and become that great big tree. But you've got to have faith that doesn't change. You don't change. Steadfast. I thought that was good. That was. And the University of Arkansas will back up that about the mustard seed, if anybody would like to look that up. For Charles Capps. And you know, it says in James 1:2-8, you don't have to turn there, it says that temptations, they come to try our faith. But the good part of it is it'll work patience in us. But he says then, don't waver. If you waver, you ain't going to get nothing. So that's what I said. You got to be like that mustard seed. Don't change. Man, you be like a bulldog, latched onto that thing, and you ain't giving up till it manifests. And stay joyful while you're waiting. You'll always win if you don't quit. I like to say that several times because don't quit. Don't quit. I know somebody that don't like to quit. Keep your confession of faith working. Faith works like a seed. You plant it by speaking. You speak words of faith. They go into your heart also. They go into your heart. Also, there are words against the problem, obstacle, or mountain in your life. Mountain that's trying to attack your health. Mountain that's trying to attack anything in your life. They go against it. And it declares that the root of that mountain or problem will cease to exist in your presence. You're speaking living words to shut that thing down. That word in your heart, by continued believing and speaking and hearing, will grow up and overcome the obstacle when fully persuaded. Yeah. You like this one. Believing is the product or offspring of God's word planted in the human heart. Believing is the product or offspring of God's word planted in the human heart. Confession of the word of faith puts the unlimited power of God to work for us. Confession is a cornerstone of Christianity. They call this the great confession, great profession. Hebrews 3:1 says, Jesus is the high priest of our profession. Profession, confession are words that are used, it's the same word in a lot of places in the New Testament. But it also means to say the same thing. So we need to be saying what he said, his word, we say it. And he's watching what to do and say, okay, let's get it done. Okay, Jesus is the King of Kings. Does anybody know who the kings are? Who are the kings Jesus is king over? It's us, isn't it? We're kings under the King of Kings. We're royalty. We need to walk in that righteousness conscience from a position of righteousness, speaking as a king. Now, I think we mentioned this in December of 2012 when there's a miracle in your mouth. How's the king speak? Now, if a king needs a ditch dug, does he take off his robe and crown and get his overalls on and go out and dig a ditch? No. He speaks. A king speaks. There shall be a ditch dug from point A to point B by tomorrow. Or whatever, you know, example. A king speaks with authority. We are kings who speak with authority. All creation responds to us. All creation responds to words. You can even see it microscopically, even in the quantum realm. When you look for the quirk, the smallest particle, it doesn't show up till you look for it. And the quirk is a sound wave. Everything, isn't it neat? Everything's made up of sound waves. So we put out sound waves anointed by God, the power of God in it. This is so awesome, too. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God sent here in the kingdom of darkness to rescue these people out of that kingdom. And we're getting her done. We're picking up speed. You know, Psalm 103:20 says that the angels hearken to the voice of his word. Put your Bible up to your ear. Do you hear it? Does it say anything? Do you hear anything? I didn't either. Well, who gives voice to the word?
We do.
Angels hearken to the voice of his word. Angels are waiting for us. Gosh, I feel the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Angels are waiting for you to speak, to operate on it, to operate on the words you speak. Speak his word. We have an audience with angels. We give voice to the word. Hebrews 1:14 says, are not all angels ministry and spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? They're waiting for us to speak the word of God. I love when Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick and powerful. Well, how quick is quick? Well, natural light as we know it travels 186,000 miles per second. So you've got angels going along with that living word that's made out of light to go take care of what you're speaking. get your faith up to receive that kind of information, man. Like I said, prayer and praise are big guns of faith. You always expect, always believe that you received when you prayed. Keep your expector going. Keep the switch on. Now this, is there something more powerful than dynamite? Is there something, is there a liquid one?
Nitroglycerin?
Okay. All right, turn on your imagination here. You got this container of nitroglycerin. Boy, I mean, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of power. There's a fuse. You light that fuse, and it's going to go in there and ignite and release the power of that nitroglycerin, making tremendous power available. But turn your imagination back on to the truth of the deal here. We got something more powerful than that. We have the unlimited power of the Word of God right here. Unlimited power of the living Word of God right here. Faith is the fuse, and your confession lights the fuse. Faith is the fuse that releases the unlimited power of God, and your confession lights the fuse. Praise God. All things are possible to God. Impossible shouldn't even be a word we deal with. It shouldn't be an obstacle. Because all things are possible. Impossible doesn't exist when we're working with God. We meditate on the word. We say it over and over again out loud. Do it while you're just out confessing. Or if you're reading it, then you get in your eyes and your ears. That's double. That's better. You keep planting those and watering those seeds in your heart until you're fully persuaded. Then it will overcome any obstacle. When faith comes, fear goes, and victory manifests. This is important. There's nothing in this world's order that cannot be turned around by the word, your mouth, and faith. There's nothing in this world's order that cannot be turned around by your word, your mouth, and faith. Keep the switch of faith turned on. All yours, big guy.
Amen. Good word. Terry and I are here because of faith. So, Father, I thank you so much for my brother's message. I thank you for your word that's true and righteous altogether. We believe it, Lord. We stand on it. God, and we teach us as we determine in our hearts that we're going to walk in that direction. Father, help that to be so, Lord, in everything we think and do and say. We want to put you first in Jesus' name. Amen.